have a title today for our teaching, Be on Your Guard in Case You Run Away. Be on your guard in case you run away. And I want to look at the word today, and we're going to start off with the disciples, those that were called by Jesus, who walked with him and saw all the great miracles, heard the preaching and the teaching, but it took a crisis in which their heart, the fear, manifested. And I think as we look at this teaching, we're going to see why God does what he does with us. Sometimes it can seem quite hard and radical, but the Lord is ever working with us to make us faithful, to endure, to remain with it until the end. And so we're going to look at Mark, start off with Mark 14 and verse 43. And here we're looking at Jesus's betrayal, where he's arrested, and the disciples, they begin to run away because of fear and the whole situation. Remember that Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's been to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's won the victory there, and now Judas is going to betray him. And as we take it up in Mark 14, verse 43, and it says, and immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. How his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him, and lead him away safely. So he's trying to appease what he's doing in betraying Jesus. And he says, but do it safely. As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. So it is amazing how Jesus is very aware he is fulfilling scripture. He knows he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knows what is facing him. He knows what prophecy says about him. And he also knew that there was going to be one who would betray him. He also knew that they were going to run away. You see, God knows all things, and even in Jesus's flesh, he still has tremendous insight, understanding, and knowledge because he's one with his Father. And if you haven't run away, you probably will, maybe at some stage in your Christian life and walk. It's something that we all face. Some return by the grace and mercy of God, and there are others that don't. But we all will be challenged as disciples. And this is why we need to be on our guard. This is why we need to know scriptures, things like this that we read. Because if we understand this and we look at this, we will find ourselves saying, Lord, in your infinite mercy and grace, may this never happen to me for your glory. It causes you to reach out and to be very real before God, because it takes a crisis, it takes a situation in which our hearts are revealed. And often what is revealed is fear and unbelief. And this is why God deals with this in the way that he does, and why he teaches us so much about faith, believing, walking by faith, trusting him. This is what preserves us, brothers and sisters. What is it preserving us from? From ourselves, from deceiving ourselves. This is what it does. Now, if we turn to Luke 22, Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, and here we see a familiar story of, we know, with Peter, where Peter denies the Lord and weeps bitterly. You see, if Peter had had insight that he was going to do this, he probably would have sought the Lord in a different way. You see, we now have the Holy Spirit. He has now come, returned to us to teach us and lead us and guide us. They have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have just had Jesus with them. Look how greater it is when we have the Spirit of God living within us. You see, Jesus isn't living within Peter's heart yet. This is why the Lord had compassion and mercy upon them. And here it says, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. So Peter's still concerned. He can't fully, completely, in a sense, run away. He still wants to be there. He wants to see what's going on. Now, when he had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are one of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. There is repentance beginning to work. God is now beginning to get it from his head to his heart what he's doing. And we see later on a process of what the Lord does there, because we know that after Jesus' resurrection, he appears to the disciples, and the disciples, as you know, are out fishing, and they see Jesus by the water edge, and they come in and he prepares breakfast for them. And then he addresses three times to Peter, exactly here, because he said, three times you will deny me, and on the third time, the cock will crow. And look what he's doing. He weeps bitterly. That weeping bitterly is working redemption, reconciliation with him. And then he meets up with the Lord, and the Lord again challenges him three times, "Do you love me?" And on the third time, he says, "Lord, you know all things." He finally had come to a place that he's at the mercy and grace of God. There is nothing he can do. It is God who first loves us. And we realize that it is God's mercy and grace, even that we don't betray him or run away, for he knows all things. But look how God was working with this man's heart. And after he finished with him, he was then equipped to be able to go and feed God's sheep. You see, he had to go through this in order not only for his faith to be faithful, but also to be reliable, not to run away. You see, God wants to use us, but he can't always use us because we're not reliable. We will run away. And this is why I say, when you are called into the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, God meets with you in a very deep way for the very purpose that you will stay with your ministry. You won't run away. And of course, this is what he's doing with the disciples. He's dealing with that unbelief, that fear that otherwise will always get us to run away. And this is why God removes these hindrances, and he uses circumstances, he uses the trials and the tests of life in which to work this. We don't know what is in our heart until the crisis happens. And we always have to be aware of that and acknowledge the fact that God knows all things and he knows what could manifest in me under a trial. But Lord, make me faithful. Don't let me run away. And if we want that, then our Heavenly Father is going to work for that. This is why we're to pray those things that are important to pray, not just for our needs and our healings and whatever, all of which is very important, but praying these prayers that we will remain faithful and not go back or compromise, you see. Because we don't know what is coming on the earth. We don't know yet how long we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, the rapture. We're seeing a great falling away now. Things are rapidly declining in every way. And there are times that you think, Lord, just strengthen me. I need that strength to stand in these last days. And of course, he will do that. You see, the results of what happened when we run away, often it's because, as I keep saying, it's fear. It wasn't because they'd had enough of it. It's because of weakness. And that's what fear always does. It makes us weak in trials. God was allowing all this to bring the disciples to what? A higher place. And this is what God does. He uses all of the trials and situations in order to bring us to a higher place, a higher plateau. What for? To overcome. And so restoring Peter and the disciples, he's bringing them back to a higher place and standing in the Lord, which they need. And we all need. We can all identify with Peter. We can all identify with the disciples. I'd be the last one to accuse Peter. Because if you truly and honestly look at that, I don't know what I would do. I know what I want to do. And that is where we call upon the grace and mercy of God. This is why we have these stories here, so that we can enter into this, that it brings out these prayers and intercessions from us. When we look at these saints and what they went through. What does it say in John, the Gospel of John, John 20 and verse 24? John 20 and verse 24. And here now he's restoring, bringing back the disciples. They've fled. He's now working with them. And here it comes to Thomas. Now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. So it's interesting, Thomas is still with them. They're still together. They haven't all literally fled and gone back. They've seen the Lord. So they're together. They know something's happening. Something is going on. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So there is a blessing to those who haven't seen but believe. And that is why we teach to you faith and the deeper life. It has that double blessing. We don't need the proof. We know. We are persuaded. We know what God's word says. We are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, you see. And so here we're seeing where the Lord is restoring and bringing them back. And he's working on their faith to believe, because faith will rid fear that makes us otherwise run away. Let's turn to Job. Nobody goes through what Job went through. Did Job run away? Well, no, he didn't, by the grace and mercy of God. But Job's eyes were opened in his trial. This was ultimately what God was doing with him, to open his eyes that he might know and see the Lord. Job 19, verses 25, 26. Beautiful words these are. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." There you are. He had come to that place in his depths of trial that the Lord had revealed himself by revelation. Remember, these very, very early saints didn't have the word of God that you have. They held on. They believed. They didn't have 66 books to run to for comfort. And right in his trial, instead of running away, he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand in the last on the earth." So he believes that God is coming back to rule and reign on the earth. "And I shall see him in my flesh. In other words, I will be part of the glorified saints. The pure in heart will see God. That's what Matthew 5:8 tells us. And how does he work that purity? Through much trial and tribulation, of which to make it in to the kingdom of God, as it says in Acts 14. That is what he's working within our hearts, purity. And purity comes by fire. And the pure in heart always have a revelation of the Lord, not just the mere word, but they know the voice behind the word. The same as Mary, when she went to the tomb and saw that he was risen, and she saw the gardener there and thought he was the gardener. And he said, "Why are you weeping? They've taken away my Lord." And he said, "Mary." And immediately she knew his voice. You see? I'm all for theology. I'm all for learning the word of God. Absolutely vital. But you must know the one who is the word. You must know the author of the Bible, the book that you hold. Otherwise, it is a dead religion you have. And she knew his word immediately and knew he was alive, he was risen. She wasn't thinking about theology. She wasn't thinking about the word or anything. She literally heard his voice, and that was it. And as we know, the Pharisees would have torn her apart with all their theology and pride and arrogance. But she knew his voice. And that is what we need to know. Behind the word that we read, we need to know that this is Jesus in me speaking to me. This is what quickens our faith to believe, to stand upon these promises. They're not just promises that you read. They're from your Father's heart. Never forget that, particularly in the trials that we go through when our faith is being tested. We have to have that revelation of him. And the pure in heart, as Matthew 5:8 tells us, are the ones who have a revelation of the Lord in their hearts, where God is working that purity within them, not just a mere word. What does the Lord tell us what we're destined for? In Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the streets and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruits every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Here we see what God has destined us for. Wonderful. That is our eternity. That is what we're going to be. And note it ends in there that we shall reign with him forever and ever. It will never, ever come to an end. Always will be. We shall see him. And the glory of God will be our light. There will be no shadows with the glory of God, I can assure you, unlike the sun. even Israel, rebellious Israel, a remnant shall see him. And Israel ran away from God. They wanted to go back into Egypt. But look what the mercy of God does to reconcile. Just like he did with the disciples and Peter, so he will remember his covenant he's made with them. Here it is in Revelation 7 and verse 9. And these things, and after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms and branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So we see the nations and Israel, a remnant being preserved, because God knows whom he's called from the foundation of the world. What do we see in Revelation 13, verse 15? Revelation 13 and verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So there are many Christians who have not gone up in the rapture, those who've not paid the cost, but here God again is merciful. They have nowhere to run away, but they will go through martyrdom. Again, to preserve and keep a remnant. This is what God is doing. This is why he doesn't want us running away, because he's preserving and keeping us, because we know there's nowhere to run to. And that is why God, in his mercy, he preserves us so that we don't run away. And that's why the woman is left and she is preserved. Here we are. Here's a wonderful promise of God's preservation over us, which otherwise we would run away. Revelation 12, verses 5 to 6. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. And then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So we see then that the overcomers are in the womb of the woman, preserved, kept from the dragon, the enemy. There is the preservation of God, so that we don't run away. This is how God works. And this is why, as I close now, you will know that you have been called from the foundation of the world. And you will know if you're called because you endure to the end, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. And these lot that believe they're Christian and call themselves Christian, they're eternally saved and they can't go wrong, they do not know the word of God. On one side of the coin, we are saved. On the other side, we are being saved, brought out from. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And we hold on in the trials and the tribulations. And when these tests come, and they will come, just stay with it. Just keep with it. Keep coming. Keep listening. Get the word of God into your heart. These are just some of the principles that we labor with you, so that we don't run away. And of course, the disciples realized, although they had run, betrayed the Lord, they realized that there wasn't really anywhere they could go. And of course, the Lord restored them like he did. But he removed that fear, that unbelief from their hearts. Because otherwise, they would not have been any use in ministry and as apostles. For those, they were the important apostles. They're the ones who had seen the Lord crucified, risen, and ascended. No other apostles in church history have had that experience. That is why they are special, and they will be the ones who will judge and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennium. That is their call and ministry. And then, of course, there was the Apostle Paul himself. And he was for the Gentiles. And as we have said many, many times, the age of the apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher has never ceased, as many try to say. And we are seeing now in the last days of restoration that God again is restoring the fivefold ministry to a remnant who are coming back. And as I've said, and I'm seeing it happening around the world, a remnant that is calling back. The church is going back into the home like it was in the time of Acts. Because the rest of Christendom, sadly, is apostate and is ecumenical and going into the one world religion. So God calls out a remnant to himself in these last days who will hear his voice. For Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So there we are. We have been talking today about why we're not to run away in trial and tribulation, and how God works with us in faith to stand and believe. And when we read such stories like Peter, who ran away from the Lord, and how God restored him back, we can identify with such stories like that, and we can start to make that our prayer and supplication before the Lord, that, "Lord, that would not happen to me, what I read there." That's why there are those accounts in the Bible to get us to be real and honest with God. If it happened to them, it can so easily happen to us, because we do not know what we do in trial, in testing. Only God knows what is in our hearts. And that is why we go through the trials and tests, in which to root out that fear, that unbelief, that those things that will cause us otherwise to run away. Praise God. He's faithful. He that hath begun a work in us will complete and finish it.